Hello, everybody. My name is Lisa Monahan.
And I'm Andy Clodfelter.
How you like them apples? Welcome to a very belated mini-sode.
Of 90s Court.
I guess someone should say the name of the podcast in there somewhere.
Recess, probably recess, recess.
Dude, it's been a very busy couple weeks.
It has been. It's been a week full of me having a new life schedule, and basically when I get off work, everybody else is like, all right, I'm going to bed, bye.
It's true. Yeah, hello and good night.
Yeah, just so
sayonara, suckers.
But
a
few things. I've goodness, it's been a very full week regarding podcast things, I'll say that. So first up, I didn't know this was what it was at first until I heard somebody talking about it on another podcast, was that Rocco's Modern Life has a special on Netflix right now. So it's basically just like they did a quick reboot. They're like, here's one episode. It's supposed to be a movie, but it's absolutely not a movie. It's basically just basically like a slightly longer episode. It's just not very long, at least from what I recall. It was not a very long, quote unquote, film. Less than an hour for sure. But no, it was good. Had some interesting new twists in there. And they very much modernized it to the current times.
As they modernized Rocco's Modern Life.
Yes.
They kept it up, huh? See, here's the thing. Go ahead.
I'm going to tell you this. It's not a spoiler, but for the first like 30 seconds of the show, when Rocco and the other characters were talking, I was like having like twitches, like I was twitching, like because of the fact that like it was not the right voices.
Oh, that's hard.
It might have been the same actors, but it was just like at first, it was just like listening to me do, you know, it felt like like listening to Andy Clodfelter doing Rocco, and you know, Heifer and all them. So it was just a little bit hard at first, but then I got used to it and it was fine. So, but
can
it just
you imagine
kind of,
that, like if they are the same voice actors, can you imagine how difficult it would be to be like, okay, dust those babies off. It's time to pull out a 25-year-old voice.
Yeah, listen, I know it's been 20 years, but here we go.
Yeah, time to be Heifer. Is it? It's not.
Is it Heifer time?
It's not Heifer time. So, it hasn't been Heifer time since 97. We're dropping this.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. No, I think I let my kids watch it, but I personally haven't watched it yet, which is a huge bummer. Like, they keep asking to watch Doug, which is really sweet.
Adorable.
Like, I'll take that over Paw Patrol.
When you watch the first episode of Doug, though, you're like, man, this was some low quality. Like, and even Rugrats, like, the pilot episodes of those shows, like, the quality like of the drawing or the video or whatever is just so low, but then they go up very quickly in later episodes. It's just always weird how the pilots are always just kind of like, I crudely threw this together until I found out, oh, this is like a real show on Nickelodeon. Maybe I should step my game up.
So I
told this to you already, but I just literally before we started recording, just saw Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark, the film, and oh my God, so good. Like, I talked about how I love the resurgence of the child actors and everything like that. Mm-hmm. They nailed it. They did a great job. It had a lot of tie-ins with the books and everything like that. I definitely recommend it to anybody to see. Some jump scares, not like it wasn't terrifying or scary that much. It was more so just a really good story, and it was really cool how they tied everything together. So,
was Harold pretty legit?
Oh, wait, is that in the preview?
It is. Yeah, okay, so you can watch a trailer. No, you can watch a trailer, and it shows a lot of it. But like, was Harold pretty legit? Yeah.
Yes. A lot of the other stuff was even. There was one thing, oh my God, that was so much more legit than anything. It was the one that was even like, my dreams are going to be haunted by this image. Like it was like just okay. So, but they had one. Yeah, in the game, in the movie, they had somebody that was just spot on from the actual books. Like looked exactly really? Like it, and it, but they had it like personified like an actual human being. So it was like, yeah. So Harold was pretty spot on too, I guess.
So even though I haven't seen the movie, do you remember like from the stories, which was the scariest one that you remember from, like from your childhood?
I don't remember. No, I'm sorry. Like it was one of those things where watching them in the movie, mm-hmm. like reminded me of the stories when they came up. But I couldn't, off the top of my head, tell you, like, what it was.
Harold wrecked my life for a long time. But the one, but there was one image. Yeah, there was one image in the book where it was like a huge skull person with a tiny arm that would like tap someone on the shoulder. And it was just, I just remember trying to read these books at night after going to a Scholastic book fair and being like, this is where I'm spending my mom's money to get a horrible, scary book, and reading it and being like, I can't sleep now. Cause I, and like, I still at, oh gosh,
what a gift I've given myself by paying this money to not sleep.
I know, I'm 34 and I'm still like, mm-mm, about that particular image. So,
but no, it was very good. They did a great job of telling a really good story. And tying a lot of things in. So, so that was neat. Last thing, I know I've just like, let me tell you all about my week, Lisa.
It's been a busy week. We've, I mean, the podcast, we scraped 100 episodes on, or 100 plays on the first episode. Hooray.
Yeah, we got over that. So that was cool. And here's the thing, Lisa, is also like, so as you know, Mary and Andy aren't good at this. We also broadcasted there. We also have like 90 listens on there. So we actually have like 190 listens on the first
snap.
Episode. Yeah, between the two. So we had a lot of people listen to the first episode, and then apparently promptly where they're just like, well, like, I guess I'm gonna have to wait to catch up on the later ones, but they were very on top of the first episode. So we appreciate that.
Yeah.
So I did want to say so to everybody out there. We have a Twitter now.
We do. Do we ever?
It is so much fun. I have, like, here's the thing. I had a Twitter briefly for our other podcast, and I did like nothing with it. Like, I was just like, our new episode's out, here's the links, and that was it. And then on this one, I'm just like, I kind of like got the drift of like what other people do and everything like that, with like, you know, following other people, liking, you know, sharing their stuff. Generally just being, I'm like, oh, if you're like a good friend to people basically, and are like, you know, like supportive and like kind to them and everything like that, and are funny and are entertaining, people like your stuff. And so it's not about like, hey, here's the podcast. It's just me posting all kinds of crazy stuff from the 90s and everything, and it's been pretty well received so far. So
to say the least, what are we up to, what, almost 300 followers, or have we passed?
No, we're at like 230 right now.
Okay.
Yeah. I hit 100. I hit 100 in the first day, and then I kind of took it, slowed down a little bit after that, because I just was scraping to get up to 200, got there, and then so it's been a lot of fun though, and I expect that will continue. So
nice.
If you are on Twitter, or even if you're not, get it just so you can follow our account.
Andy's going buck wild. So
I need you to look at all the fun things I post. And also as a quick shout out, just because some of those people who are on there, listen to this now. You guys are awesome. Thanks so much for hanging out, liking and commenting on stuff and everything like that. It's been a lot of fun. So now that we've talked about my week forever, how was your week, Lisa?
It's been fine. It was fun to watch the poll. I really thought Rookie of the Year stood a better chance, but nope, Sandlot. Like, it was basically, if you could imagine, the poll results were 150% Sandlot and -50%.
Yeah.
No, like, it was,
honestly,
yeah.
It's like, I always am like, I have to pit this against something really good. Like when it's something that I really like, And it's, the thing is that it's not necessarily that people don't like the thing that I'm doing. It's just like you can't beat Sandlot. Like, it's impossible. Sure. So,
well, we have a pretty spectacular court case. So this is Saturday night. We typically record our main episode on Sunday night. We already have it planned out, and it's going to be killer. And I'm not going to say anything, because it's going to be bananas.
It's a heavy hitter. Yes.
It's a big one. But anyway, yep. My week was easy.
So so you want to talk, is it cool if we get started talking about some things? It's recess. We can do whatever we want.
It's free play. Free form jazz.
So welcome everybody to recess. We appreciate you sitting through the court case, the obnoxious court case, and just so you could come and hang and play with us on the playground. So in lieu of the fact, I've been doing video games every time for this, and I'm going to continue that, because it's just like, not everybody plays video games. I want to make it inclusive on the main episodes and everything like that. But for those of you who do love the games, this is your place to hang. Mm-hmm. And I've been posting so much video game stuff on the Twitter account lately that I had so many I wanted to choose from, and I had to pick one.
Okay.
This one I want to pick is a video game that came out on both Sega Genesis and Super Nintendo. It was, let me, before I say the name of the game,
Okay.
To give a little bit of background. So the people who made this game, who designed the game and wrote the characters and kind of wrote the storyline and all this stuff, they'd been pretty successful. They had some good games that they'd been involved with and put out. They were involved with Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles video games and everything like that, which, as you know, super successful.
Yeah.
They had actually they had a few other games that they'd done as well. But like some of the things that they were doing were things like Cool Spot. They were also one of the co-creators of that, which we did discuss that briefly on our last episode. And so they really enjoyed making those games and had a lot of fun, but we're kind of feeling like, you know, wouldn't it be cool if we could just make a video game that was just fucking insane? Like, we're so tired of being hamped. Like, because this thing is like, you think of like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Cool Spot. They're like, hey, we have to like, not only is, hey, this is what they are, and there's a lot of preset guidelines to them, but like, we have to stay within their rules because like, this is branding, right? This is
Okay.
branding other people. So these people said, finally, the chance to make our own game. And that is why they came out with the game Earthworm Jim.
Oh my gosh. When was the last time you heard those two words put together?
Very recently, because I posted about it on the thing too. It's such a good game. Let me tell you about Earthworm Jim.
Yeah,
Earthworm
real
Jim.
quick, was it a show before it was a game?
I don't believe so, no.
Okay, I'm wondering if
No.
I must be remembering. So I think I'm thinking of, oh my gosh, there's a 90s cartoon I cannot channel right now. I'm just going to shut up. But okay, that one was not the one. Okay, go ahead.
So anyway, so they let's see. So basically, the game started when the creator, Doug Ten Naples, drew a simple sketch of an earthworm that he presented to Shiny Entertainment. Impressed, they said, "We want that," and they bought the rights to it. Then they made the game. So here's the thing: I don't remember it being this buck wild or like thinking about it that much. But
Okay.
so, I mean, I remember just the general premise of just like, "Hey, you're an earthworm in a suit." And you shoot guns and use a whip and stuff like that. Like that's kind of the premise of the game is it's a side scroller, similar to a lot of other games like shoot 'em ups and things like that. You know, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles is a side scroller where you're running and you're, killing things and everything. But he has a gun, he's got a whip, and there's just all kinds of crazy stuff that happens in the game. But the big thing, what like I said about the fact that they were like, we want freedom to just make a game and just have it be nonsense. I don't know if you're familiar with Conker's Bad Fur Day that came out in the 2000s, so it's not something we're going to discuss. But Conker's Bad Fur Day was
No.
basically the very, like, this to the nth degree, where they just said, fuck it, we're going to do whatever we want. And they made it just this super dirty, like, inappropriate, like, violent, horrible game. It was so good. Like, people who've heard hear Conker's Bad Fur Day will love it, but that's not the 90s, so we're not going to talk about that. But
Okay.
basically, it's a run and gun game. Like I said, you go through avoiding obstacles, enemies, shooting your gun, whipping people. You can grab onto things and then swing across them and everything like that. There's certain things you have to hook. The interesting thing was that this is they also kind of mocked other games. They had a character they have a character in the game that was named Princess What's Her Name, which was intentionally a parody because of the fact that almost like every video game is like, hey, there's a female character that exists solely for the purpose of being saved, which was pretty progressive for 1993 to have the awareness of that. The enemies in this game were called such things as Psycrow, which was a crow that apparently used psychic
Psycho, that's
Psycrow.
the worst portmanteau I've heard
Sure.
today.
Queen Slug for a Butt. So her
That's
name
me.
was Queen Slug for a Butt, and I think she had a slug for a butt. Evil the Cat.
Basic.
Bob the Killer Goldfish.
Okay.
Major Mucus. And Professor Monkey for a Head. So clearly they
Okay.
like it's almost like this whole game, they were like, we're gonna make a good game that is just us being like just so, because you think about that culture at that time, like everything's a lot more wholesome and straightforward, and it's like, hey, look what we can do with the art and everything like that. And this is the first time where in the 90s they're finally like, hey, we've got the art down and everything like that, we can put together a pretty solid game, like image wise and appearance wise and function wise. So now that we have all of that worked out and we're not worried about doing anything super new or original, like as far as gameplay wise, let's make the story, the characters, and just the general enemies and all that stuff just absolutely nuts. And so
yeah,
I love this game. It was super great. They did, let me see, I was gonna see if they had anything, they don't have anything about any potential TV show on here. They did have obviously Earthworm Jim 2 that came out in 95, Earthworm Jim 3D that came out in 97 through 99. Wow, I'm reading through some different things here to see. They had a final, fourth Earthworm Jim came out and was released in 1999. And they actually had a remake and re-releases between 2008 and currently. They're still doing it. Okay. They had somebody bought the rights, I guess, to it and have started re-releasing games to things like online, like the Wii's network and the Xbox One, PlayStation Network, and things like that, so that people can actually buy the games and play them, which I found cool. I heard somebody who's like on one podcast, a guy who is very much in the gaming industry, talk about how a lot of game creators these days, like, while they want to make money and everything like that, and they think, oh, you know, I look at this game I made, like I worked so hard on making this game, and now things like, you know, older Nintendo games and everything like that, and especially like Atari games, are getting to the point where like every copy that was ever made of them is just, it is, there's an inevitability that is going to disintegrate and basically turn to ash. You know what I mean? Like it's, it's going to, and if it hasn't already, gets to the point where it's unplayable. They're like, we want, like, especially to the creators of the game, these people, like the owners of the game, so to speak, the creators are like, can we please just make this free for people to play? Like they want to get the games out there so people can play them. But like the owners are like, no, we're not going to do that, because the creators want to do it because they're like, listen, I worked really hard on this really cool thing that I made, and I don't want it to disappear and never be seen again. Because that's the case. There's actually, I think, some games I've heard of that, like, basically, like, aside from a few copies out there that might still be in good working condition, like, are basically have been erased off the map. Which,
so sad.
Yeah, I just wanted to throw that in there because, like, I get why they're re-releasing it, and I think it's an important thing to acknowledge for some people, because not everybody is into this scene so much, and I'm not even that into it, but I found it very fascinating that, like, there's so many places, like, when they release, like, the SNES Classic and the NES Classic and soon-to-be Sega Genesis Classic.
No way.
Yeah, it's not called Classic, it's something else, but they've got, like, 40 games on there or something like that, including Earthworm Jim on that as well, so.
What, just real quick, I remembered as we started talking, what I was thinking of was Freakazoid. That's okay. Not the same at all. But I was like, it's a red guy with black hair. And I was like, that's not Earthworm Jim, but shit, I already dug myself a hole. So well, yeah.
Andy just keeps talking. I can't explain myself. But no, I really like this. Like I said, there's a lot of other games I like a lot more that I'd love to talk about. I just think that this one is a very important and cool game where it was like the creator, I think it was the story behind it of them like literally working on these ones that were like these cookie cutter, like, and again, like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles games were amazing, but like they didn't have the freedom to do much of anything. You know, they could maybe sneak occasional jokes in there, but it's like, it's all in the character of this is a thing that already exists before we came to it. A cat.
Yeah, there's a cat. I usually lock the cat out of the bedroom today. Yeah, I usually lock all breathing things out of the room whenever I record, but one snuck in and he's been playing with something on the floor this whole time. It's like, please don't die. We'll see what happens. So, but speaking of video games that you hope don't die, like I have that, I played some like off brand NES games, like I said, caveman games.
Yeah.
And like
baseball.
I'm so thankful.
So there was a game. There was a game that was apparently very popular for that. It was just called baseball.
Perfect. And can we also, we need to dedicate about half an hour sometime in the future to Paperboy.
Yes.
And how amazing Paperboy was. That's not today. It deserves more than this.
I did tweet something out about, like, it was the cover for Paperboy 2 for Game Boy or something like that. And it's just this real life action photo of some kid doing a sick stunt on his bike. And I was like,
So
why
sick.
would you, like, you wouldn't just make an image, like we don't have the budget for that. We're gonna pay Billy $10 to take a Polaroid of him doing a sick stunt wearing these bags full of papers.
My gosh, that
Anyway,
is
so
such beautiful.
that's my game corner. So hopefully you appreciated that.
Well, we're gonna go to my game corner. We're gonna
Oh,
unplug
you
from the
have game corner.
wall.
Oh, we're unplugging, huh?
We're unplugging. No elect. Well, no, that's not true. There are batteries involved, but there's nothing plugged into the wall. Imagine yourself and scene. Here we are.
World.
We are in a world where you're a 7-year-old girl, and you're at a sleepover, and you've already had too much Domino's pizza, and everyone's covered in the crust, like fluff.
Schmeckens.
Everyone's had their ice cream. Everyone's like super full, and parents are going to bed. They're like, "Girls, keep it down." You're like, "Okay, we will." And then someone pulls out from under the bed this very long rectangular box, and inside of it is the board game, the iconic board game, Dream Phone.
Dream Phone!
Dream Phone.
And it wasn't super
Okay.
loud, but.
Yeah, well, it probably was because that's the excitement level that is required of talking about
For
Dream
Dream
Phone.
Phone.
Dream Phone, okay. Yeah, it came out in 91, Milton Bradley, all day. Okay, just real quick, I'm gonna go ahead and throw this out there. You can buy it on Amazon right now for $500.
What?
$500. If you still have your copy, you're basically a millionaire. You're now the 1%. If you have a copy, if
In
you
the
have an
world.
original, all things considered copy of Dream Phone, you're minted. Came out in 91. And essentially, if you were of age to be playing this game, you probably already had crushes on boys. And you were just like, this was your way of actually living this out. If you were like me and probably big and weird and awkward for your age and not really getting a lot of crushes back at you, you're like, I have crushes, and they're these little one of 24 boys, Mark and
Oh.
Scott and Jamal and all the like Steve, and oh, it was just the best. It was just the point of the game is there are 24 guys. Okay, it's very hetero only, I guess. Like, it was meant for girls, everything's pink. 24 guys, and you open up this box, and your whole point, the whole point of this game is to figure out which one likes you. And so, yeah, so it's like a game. There are all these clues, and you use this giant pink phone, which is kind of upsetting to look at sometimes. You use this giant pink phone that required so many batteries, and you would basically use this phone to call the numbers of, like, it'd be like, oh, here's like Nick. Or like Matt, and it would have their name and their phone number, and you would dial that phone number, and it'd be like, these clips have stuck with me my entire life. Okay,
Please
so
re-source.
you'll call, and it'd be like, he looks cool in whatever he wears. He's not wearing a jacket, and so you have to this board, which is kind, I don't know, maybe an
Oh my
octagon.
gosh. It
Yeah,
really is like Guess Who, but like
but
high
way
tech.
worse, and
Way
just
worse.
way worse. But it's just this, I don't know, octagon, or whatever shape, and it's got all these silhouetted pictures of dudes with certain aspects of them colored in. So it's just a black silhouette of a guy, and maybe he's got a cool orange jacket, maybe he's got some dope pink Ray-Bans, maybe he's holding some baseball gear, and you call all these people on the phone and be like, well, it's not Nick, and Nick is like, well, he likes most sports, but not baseball. And then the first part is kind of said out loud. Like, he'll say he likes most sports, and then it gets way quiet in the earpiece, and only the person holding the phone can hear the actual clue. Yeah, all right. And so, and then every now and again the phone will ring. It'll be some chick, and she's like, "Hi, I just heard it's not Steve." And then they hang, and so like they're giving you these
I
clues
would
throughout the
love
whole.
it if it was the girl called. She's like, "I know that you're hitting on my boyfriend, and I'm going to fucking kill you."
Oh,
Like, and
oh.
you're like,
Or
"Oh no!"
in 2019, like, hi, I just heard it's me. I love you.
Oh,
We can all love each other. Like, it's fine. But in this particular game, it's like, nope, dudes,
just
girls only forever.
yeah.
And it was so, I think you were talking about how Earthworm Jim had some like some stuff that probably wouldn't fly in 2018. This probably super would not fly in 2000. Just like caveman games. And I was talking about that on Twitter. Mate toss, where you drag your wife screaming into the screen.
I don't see what's problematic about that.
But then you're like, hey, I'm tired of you screaming. So you take her by the legs and swing her around and toss her into oblivion. And it's like, that's cool. Sure. That's totally cool now. That's fine. But Dream Phone is just kind of weirdly stereotypical in this. I mean, it's just the 90s. It was a special time.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, it's obviously everything. I mean, you know, older games, you're never going to expect them to be like they are now. Obviously, that would be the game would be very much known for that if that was what was done, if it was done basically in the way that it should be done in 2019.
Yeah, but it was just, I mean, my sister and I played this, my cousins and I played this. I think if I had any sleepovers, Dream Phone came out. It was the best. And there was always like three of the 24 guys who were like, that guy's actually really cute. And the rest are like, these guys are trash cans. And then it's always the trash can guy that's like, it's me. I really like you. It's like, no. Like,
well, I'm going to hang up now.
I didn't want to date a guy named Alan. Not this year.
Alan? I just like you as a friend, Alan. And then he starts crying on the other end of the phone.
Yeah, it was a special game. There were so many, I mean, very, very, very geared towards girls. That plus like Mall Madness. I'm going to need to bring up Mall Madness sometime in the future. But Dream Phone.
These games I've seen like basically their carcasses strewn about like people's old game rooms and things like that, but I don't know if I've actually ever played them in real life.
Just it's seen like fun at first. Yeah, if you come back to it as an adult, I think you'd be like, oh, this is so nostalgic and cute, and then you get one round and you're like, this is trash, I want to go get drunk now. So because you're not six anymore and you can do that, I guess. So
I could just go talk to an actual person who likes me that I'm not interested in.
Well, I mean, think about it now. 2019, it's like, can you imagine the 2019 board game of being like, here's your board game. It's called Grindr Phone or like Tinder Phone. And you're like, I don't want this. This is upsetting. It's like, yeah, someone's like half a mile from you and they're into this. Like swipe right. Like, it is swipe right, is it, or is it left?
Yeah, which swipe is right means yes, swipe left means no.
Okay, Tinder came out like very shortly after I got married, so I've only seen people do the swippity swip swip.
Yeah.
I'm not old.
Which is sad that I realize like whenever I've done that in the past, like I don't really partake in those anymore, but like when I have, and I probably will in the future, don't worry, but whenever I have, like I'm like, you know what? I'm just like sitting here doing this, and like people know if you're swiping, like they know exactly what you're doing. Like they don't have to see the screen to know what's going on, Andy.
Yeah, you're not deleting messages. You're deleting potential mates. Nope.
Yes. Goodbye. Yep.
Goodbye. Sorry.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Oh no, I'm just saying it's just Dream Phone. I would give anything to hold that phone in all of its like 3-pound glory one more time, but then I'd have to spend $500 to do that. So.
There are so many things like with the nostalgia stuff, like when I'm thinking about the games, like I wish, like more so than having the game again, is like I wish that I felt the way I did then about this thing.
Yes.
I wish I had the wonderment of like 10-year-old Andy about this thing that I did, because I play some of the SNES classic games and everything like that, and they're fun and I enjoy them, but like it's never the same as like the devotion and commitment to needing to beat this game so badly.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. What did I tell you?
Yeah.
I fell in lava seven times today, Lisa. And you,
oh,
I
so
told you,
sad.
Yeah, oh playing gosh. Yoshi's Island.
I told Jack that. Jack's a video game developer, so he understands. He gets it, but he was like, yeah, he's, oh, Yoshi's Island.
So bad. So yeah. Anyway, so I did want to bring to you, because you've done it the past couple times that we've done this, I had for you a fun poetry reading.
I'm ready. Da-da-da, I think. Have I had enough wine for this? Let me make sure I've had enough wine for this.
It's just
I'm ready.
Okay, so as usual, I prefer to do popular songs that maybe are hard to understand versus your songs, which I've never heard of in my entire life. I guarantee you know this song. There is no question asked.
Okay. All right.
So let me find a good place here to read this. Okay.
The first time we were going to do this, I was just straight going to read Bop. I was like, it would be the biggest waste of a piece, but like, oh, it would have been fun to just say Bop, sheepadop, boo up, do up.
Okay. Load up on guns and bring your friends. It's fun to lose and to pretend. She's overboard and self-assured. Oh no, I know a dirty word.
What? Okay. Is that all I get?
I can't. There's so many lines in this that are like so iconic that I can't like say them.
Load up on guns and bring your friend. Load up on guns is ringing a bell. Oh,
I'm saying that one was bad enough. I can maybe read some other little bits and pieces.
Just to check, this isn't like Bush, is it?
I'm not going to tell you anything.
Shoot. Okay, go ahead.
An albino, a mosquito.
Oh, this is Nirvana. Come on, this is Smells Like Teen Spirit.
Yes, ding ding ding, we finally got one. This is a pit trap of lines that I can't say. Like I'm like, I could say the last three lines of the verse, but like it wouldn't make sense. So I was thinking, because the next thing I was gonna read was with the lights out, it's less dangerous. And I'm like, she's gonna know immediately from that one.
Well, it's really easy to guess Smells Like Teen Spirit when the chorus is Smells Like Teen Spirit, Smells Like Teen Spirit, Smells Like Teen Spirit. That's exactly how I remember it. So
smells like Teen Spirit. Smells just like Teen Spirit. Teen Spirit.
Oh, Nirvana.
All rights reserved to this song that I just made up for Nirvana.
Burp, burp, burp,
burp. Okay, anyways. So congratulations, Lisa, on being the first victor of this game.
Boom, boom, boom. I really thought you would have gotten The Boy Is Mine, but maybe you just weren't a Brandy and Monica fan.
Nope.
So where was your head at? Let's say 95. 95, 98, to that range. What was your number one jam in nine? Like, if you could be like, this is my band of the 90s. This is not a court case or anything like that. We're not blowing anything like that.
But here's the thing is there was a lot of period of time, like in that time period where like it was me listening to classic rock and everything like that, like finding out, Led Zeppelin's a thing. Oh, Pink Floyd's a thing. I did for a while listen to a good amount of Metallica earlier on. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, I have seen Metallica in concert. But then,
that's
like,
pretty cool though.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. The other ones were not as cool. That concert, because of that, I can also say that I've seen Limp Bizkit live concert.
Do you know I've seen Puddle of Mud live on accident twice? On accident.
Such an amazing mistake to make is to accidentally run into them.
You walk in like, oh shit, not them again. Shit.
Yeah. And even though at the time I was like way too cool for it, I did see Linkin Park at that same concert, and I remember being like, groan. But like in retrospect, I'm like they weren't bad. Like in retrospect, I'm like I can appreciate some of their music despite the fact that at the time, I belittled them greatly.
Well, when they first came out, they were pretty heavy hitters, in their own. I mean, yeah, it was the right time, and then they kind of lost their thing. But interesting. Okay.
So. So anyways, this was our, you're good with wrapping up? Cause I know this is supposed to be a little mini episode. So
we've got to rest up because court tomorrow.
Yes.
Is some serious business.
Got to get some sleep. Got to file some documents. got to go through, make sure all of my evidence has been submitted, all that good stuff. So where to find us? I know we've covered this in ad nauseum, but we'll go over it again.
Let's do it.
And we have a new one, as we mentioned. We are at 90s Court, and that's 90, the letter S, Court, on both Facebook and Twitter. We are at 90s.court on Instagram. As always, if you are listening on an Apple Podcast or can listen on Apple Podcasts, please leave us a nice 5-star review. with a nice, and when I say review, I mean people will click the 5 stars. We'd love to hear, to see a review, meaning just saying, hey, really like the show, this is what I like about it, or what have you. Or just say something goofy and funny, like, we don't care. In fact, we would almost prefer that, is just something funny.
Yep.
So we can share it in the future. But to those of you who have reviewed it already, thank you so much. Lisa, did you have anything to say before we departed?
Nope. It's been really fun interacting with everyone this week on social media. It's amazing watching you come out of your shell on Twitter.
I know. It's my first. I'm such a Twitter virgin, and yet I'm suddenly just bursting in. That sounded horrible, saying bursting right after I said I was a Twitter virgin. So, but anyways, let's get out of here before I say anything else terrible. Anyways, thanks, guys, and we'll catch you very soon on our next episode.
Sounds good. Good night.
Night.
Bye.